and welcome to a very special edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for these proceedings. This week certainly started with a bang, didn't it, with the mostly surprised announcement that HP will split itself into two companies, HP Incorporated, which keeps the printing and PC and other endpoint business, and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, which keeps servers, storage, software services, and other B2B assets. I will aim to finish this transfer over the course of the next year, and it's sure to be one of the biggest stories in our industry over that time. In this edition of the podcast, we dive deeper into what we know at this point about the split and what we need to know for the future from all perspectives we can. First, I'll be joined by a panel of channel luminaries to discuss the news. Joining us will be Greg Myers of Tech Data Canada to provide a distributor's view, Kevin Hebert of The Print Package with a longtime HP partner view, and Diane Krikora of PartnerPath Consulting, an industry analyst who closely follows the channel community in general and partner programs and structure in particular. We kick around the news for a while, and then after that, we'll get some answers straight from the source as I'm joined on the podcast by Sue Barsamian, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Indirect Sales for HP's Enterprise Group, to get her view on what it all means to the channel and where we go from here. So let's get right into it with our panel discussion. To kick off our panel discussion, I'd like to introduce three adroit members of the channel community. First of all, Diane Krikora, CEO of PartnerPath Consulting. Diane, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Also joining us is Greg Myers, Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Tech Data Canada. Greg, always a pleasure.
Good morning, Robert. Thanks for the opportunity this morning.
No problem. My pleasure. And last but certainly not least, joining the panel from a solution provider perspective is Kevin Hebert, founder and consultant at The Print Package, and a longtime HP Managed Print partner. Kevin, thank you.
Morning, Rob. Thanks for having me.
So if your morning kicked off anything like mine on Monday, you kind of got up and grabbed your cup of coffee and sat down in front of your computer and pulled open your web browser and went, whoa, with the announcement that the HPs were splitting up. I'd be interested to kind of go around the table and get each of your sort of initial moment reactions to the announcement of that HP and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise are going to go their separate way. And perhaps, Greg, we could start with you.
Sure. Thanks, Robert. The announcement was a surprise on the one hand. And on the other hand, it really wasn't surprising at all. And I think it's great to see HP taking a proactive posture with this announcement. It doesn't strike me as a reaction to market or performance. It strikes me as a proactive announcement designed to drive more focus in what we already understand to be two very different parts of the Hewlett-Packard company. So I think it's interesting and exciting news.
All right. Great. Diane, your initial thoughts as you sort of digested the news earlier this week?
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Yeah, but my first reaction was woohoo. I'm very excited. little escape of woodom came out on Monday morning. I really feel that it's different customer sets, very different partner engagement needs in the two HPs, and it kind of always felt that it was a challenge to get them together, really, around how do you solve the problem for two very different kind of customer segmentation aspects for the product line. So I was pretty excited about it.
All right. Great. And Kevin, how did the news strike you?
Thanks, Robert. Much like our other two guests, I was surprised on the outset, but certainly not really surprised after getting over the initial news. One of the surprise part is that other than some very small leaks on Sunday afternoon, it was very well managed from a media perspective, and very quickly and as soon as you saw the press release and the webcast with Meg on Monday morning, it was clear that this is a very thought out, and this was not something that was cooked up over the weekend. This has been planned out, thought through, and certainly has all kinds of positive aspects to it.
All right, brilliant. Now we get into sort of the meat of the conversation, as it were, which is, of course, there are still a lot of questions out there. But what ultimately does this split mean for HP partners? You know, what do partners have to gain from having two separate HPs? And what do they potentially lose from that unified face of HP? And Diane, you've already kind of touched on some aspects of this, but your thoughts on what this is going to mean for partners?
Well, certainly I think the partners gain focus out of this. They get to have a program and an engagement strategy and a field enablement process that really is focused on an enterprise or more of a consumer market set. I think that focus is always good. But what they lose is, for particularly partners, what we've heard in the last week is that they lose some of the accelerators of the multiple product sales. They lose some of the overall, some of them are having bigger solutions that had the kind of the both sides of the house in them in terms of a full solution. So they are losing some of that kind of it works together solution set. However, as two companies, I can still see them putting that together okay as a partner.
And it sounds like while this will be a separation of the two companies, there will be some common ground and common infrastructure, at least in some regards, is my understanding. And there's still a lot of questions to be asked and answered in terms of what that will be. But it seems like there may be some benefit for those folks. Greg, interested to get your thoughts on what partners gain and potentially have to find either elsewhere or reinvent with the split of the HPs.
Sure. Well, I think that partners have been dealing with two HPs in many ways for a very, very long time. I mean, today there are unique programs, there are unique targets, there are unique benefits, unique sales resources. So, from a certain perspective, everyone has figured out how to manage the relationship with HP as a function of the PPS-EG split. I do agree with Diane that there are partners that have leveraged at least some takeaway there. As a distributor, I see that as an opportunity. I see an opportunity for Tech Data, as an example, to represent both sides of HP in a way that creates value consistent with the one HP message today. So, you know, I think there's mostly upside. I think the focus piece, again, that Diane mentioned is fundamental, and focus drives results. I would say that for HP market-facing resources, this has to be good news because those folks have been charged on the one hand with understanding the depth of their specific product portfolio and the programs and everything that feed that PPS or EG focus, but they've also had to pay, you know, some attention to what's going on the other side of the organization. I think probably many of them really half listened to that side of the story. You really can't fully understand, I don't think, very well that full product portfolio and be able to bring value. So I think for the front-facing resources, this is going to allow them to not be distracted by the other side of the message and really focus and deliver value against the opportunities and objectives of the specific HP company going forward.
All right. Kevin, in your life as a partner, you were primarily focused on the print side of the house and therefore later PPS, but even then the print side primarily. To what degree do you, in that kind of role, pay attention to what else is going pan-HP? And did the, I suppose not given the unique focus of the organizations you worked for, but did the sell the breadth of the product line message that was kind of pushed on high nearly constantly, did that have any impact on your relationship with HP?
Well, it absolutely did. And, you know, Greg and Diane? Both covered that very well in that really they were two places all along. I don't think it's a big secret that there was still as much as, on the one hand, the Pan-HP message was constant and fairly consistent from an operational and particularly sales perspective. At the end of the day, the folks that were customer-facing down in the trenches were on one side or the other of PPS and EG. And as a result, you sort of had sometimes a diluted message because you can't really be focused and holistic to the same degree at the same time. So I do see in that sense some of the advantages is there's not going to be a massive disruption to current business models and current ways of interacting with HP. As Greg mentioned, today even a lot of the distribution segmented to a degree across those, not exactly, but there was already some differences and so forth. And having said that, what I've seen from HP to date, and I'm very encouraged by, and provided they keep their focus on it, is they've put themselves ahead of the curve and ahead of the message on addressing those things. So it's not that today we've announced the split and we're throwing the Pan-HP concept out. You know, they're recognizing there's the changes and there's evolution in the market. So the Pan-HP from a HP Hewlett Packard Enterprises perspective, that message is still there. It's really, to me, somewhat of a reflection of the change in which areas of the portfolio or of the stack are we going to focus on. And to me, that leaves a lot of opportunity then to say, okay, that's our area of focus if it's on the Hewlett Packard Enterprises side. And if your area of focus is more what I would call on-ramp, off-ramp into an infrastructure, which is what the PC laptop workstation, print, scanning, and so forth pieces ultimately are, they're creating right away, I think, the opportunities to have nice paths into those segments if that's part of an extra portfolio you want to carry or if that is the portfolio you want to carry.
All right, great. You know, we've sort of touched on some of this already, but there's partners as was Kevin's organization that are focused on really strongly on one side of the house. And certainly there are as many partners focused on the enterprise side of the house, exclusively or nearly exclusively. But what does HP have to do, to make this process as painless as possible, for that pan HP partner who has strength on both sides of the house and who maybe was realizing some economies of scale benefits in terms of programmatic structure benefits in terms of MDF, all those kinds of things, from being very strong on both sides of the house. Greg, your thoughts, and it sounds like you've already got some thoughts on opportunity that may face distribution to help create, if some of this glue, is not there as much as it was in the past. Perhaps distribution can play a role in creating that or producing that in the market.
Yeah, exactly, Robert. I think for most partners, their go to market has been fairly deliberate, and it's typically either data center oriented, or it's networking oriented, or it's security oriented, or for fewer and fewer partners, it's and even there, there's much more specialization around managed print services as an example. So I see partners today paring down the offerings that they bring to market. I think the opportunity for being a trusted advisor and delivering a broad portfolio of products, that opportunity has peaked, I would say, in most commercial markets. It may continue to exist in smaller marketplaces. But generally speaking, partners have focused their business on fewer vendors and fewer technologies. So I really don't see much disruption in this. It'll be interesting to see how it rolls out, how the execution plays. I tend to believe that the compromises inherent in the 1HP than the opportunities that were created by a 1HP message. So it seems to me that it goes back to focus, and that provided HP unencumbered in both routes to, and both product routes to market, can bring more value to the EG business, can bring more value to print, can bring more value to the PC, the client PC business. And I just say one other thing, that you know, the timing for this, when the PC market, when the PPS market is performing so strong for HP, delivers a completely different message. And I think it also underscores the potential for both organizations to do bigger things in the marketplace going forward. So I tend to believe that that's going to drive more opportunity for partners than any kind of diminished impact as a result of today's One HP message.
All right, great. Diane, as they're doing this split and assumedly to, at least to some degree, partner camps will be split amongst the two organizations, how should HP or how can HP effectively handle that pan-HP partner who has the connections on both sides of the fence?
Yeah, I think it was already fairly well talked about that HP has been too different, or the partners have been dealing with two different types of HPs for a long time. We see 6-legged, 12-legged sales calls, right, with the sales specialists from each kind of product line or division going, you know, with the partners out on sales calls. So we've seen that this has already, from the product focus, been in play for quite some time. So I think as the can we move forward, the main question is really how can, for us, how can HP keep the disruption in the internal teams as small as possible as we kind of move forward and keep everybody focused internally on kind of the job at hand and really communicate clearly so that they are still out there doing sales calls with their partners. And the partners will be fine. They've been working with this with these types of two different organizations for a long time. There's a little question around infrastructure, Robert, that you touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think the big challenge will be the internal to HP, where everybody goes, oh, my God, do I have a job? And keeping those guys motivated and then connecting still in the field with those partners in their own product line. The partners are used to, you know, working with a variety of, you know, different people.
All right. So disruption internal and as well as external. You know, earlier this year, I think we saw HP come out and say it's good to be the disruptor rather than disrupted, referring back to its problems back to 2011 and 2012 and the turnaround since then. And they were looking to take advantage of some disruption that they saw in the market in the form of the IBM Lenovo server purchase as well as Dell's Go Private acquisition. We've certainly seen some of those. I'm thinking Dell most loudly, and Michael Dell was all over this from day one, saying, you know, we are now the paragon of stability in this market, and HP is going to be distracted for a long time. And granted, a lot of that is sowing fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and for good reason, as HP did at it. But Kevin, from your perspective, what does HP have to do to manage the disruption internally as well as to equip partners to face what they may hear in the market in terms of external disruption?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Dell, and it's a good example of a situation where HP doing this right, which so far every indication is they have and they will. It actually positions them as controlling the dialogue. And as long as they can continue to do that and be proactive and get in front of the message, what you have then is reactive and really not necessarily as much attention is going to be paid to people commenting on what other people are doing. So I think that's a positive so far. But absolutely, the onus is really on HP. To continue with that focus, the key thing I think is that's in front of them right arm the channel, arm the partners with the tools, with the factual and right information presented in a in a usable manner to ensure that the right message is getting out, that the facts are properly laid out, and that the partners aren't left in front of the customer having to dispel rumors or clarify points that competitors or others will make. The reality is there's just so much information out in the marketplace, and customers, quite frankly, are going to, by and large, go by headlines, and then they're going to go by the people that they trust to find out what's really going on. How does this matter to me? So both HPs really can take advantage of that, leverage the partners and their strong relationships with the end customers with the right information, the right tools to say, here's what is happening and here's why this is good for you, and here's specifically how we see this impacting you. And, doing that right will, in fact, mean those impacts are going to be, for the most part, positive. And all the rest becomes noise after that. And then, the private companies and their CEOs can go back to being private.
All right, great. We've already heard, structurally speaking, with the program and infrastructure that they have around the partner side, we've already heard on the conference call Monday from Meg, specifically, she just threw it in there as a mention, that Unison would be something that would remain in place, the new partner portal and partner resources structure on the website remain in place and likely exist under some sort of operating agreement between HP and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Diane, you follow, obviously, partner program structure very closely in what you do for a living. Any thoughts on what parts of the larger partner one umbrella and all of the infrastructure that HP has in place should remain shared, and what would be best served by going to the individual routes to market with their individual channels?
Yeah. We do follow a lot of the infrastructure because it seems to be the part that really enables the process and creates a faster time to market. Mm-hmm. And I saw the announcement that they are going to keep Unison and try to use both organizations. I was a little kind of disappointed in that. It's really complex and unwieldy already as a infrastructure system. And it's never been really an easy process to, let's just say, for example, register a deal mm-hmm. within the HP infrastructure. I was kind of the whole fun of this being split apart is the focus and being able to have kind of the simpler systems and tools that are specifically related and configured, quite frankly, for each different team. And the way that the discounts work or deal registration or MDF, really the percentages, the processes, I think would, my humble opinion, would be served better in kind of two different systems, just as two different organizations. And again, that whole focus around kind of the different partner the different partner models that are needed there.
All right.
My answer is none. None should be shared.
You're going the radical separation route.
I'm going duo. Make full separation.
All right. Good to note. I think we're just about running out of time for this. Still a lot that we could be discussing, but I think we're up against time for this one. I'd like to go just kind of once around the table and get each of your thoughts on, from the partner's perspective, what can they do as a partner to make this process as easy as it can be for themselves and potentially end up a stronger HP or multiple HPs partner at the end of the day. And Greg, if I could start with you.
Sure, Rob. Well, first of all, I would say that HP partners have probably the most heritage with that vendor than any other vendor in the marketplace. I had the opportunity earlier this week to attend their Canadian partner meeting up in Gravenhurst, and it was kind of interesting that the meeting was planned and then this news lands in Lloyd Bryant's lap as it landed with most of us. And you know, the response from HP partners was quite positive, I would say, overall. Again, it's not surprising to any of us. It makes business sense. The only thing I would say in terms of how partners can extract value is really to stay close to the to the transition and understand the strategy behind this as that becomes more clear to us going forward. Because as much as this is an interesting announcement, I think what will be really interesting is what this unleashes within each organization in terms of how they take their business forward, right? People would speculate about, does this provide the opportunity for more consolidation in the PC space? Would it allow for more consolidation in the print space? So does HP Inc. have a new opportunity to be more aggressive in the marketplace and go and defend their market share position and take a larger one? Similarly, on the EG side, as much as HP offers a full portfolio on the enterprise computing side of the business, on the data center side of the that are bringing new technology to market and eating away at what traditional vendors have brought to the enterprise space. So I think the real opportunity going forward is what each of these organizations can pursue with a singular focus on the technology that they've shown leadership around for so long.
All right, great. Kevin, your thoughts on what you can do as a partner to get the most and the most advantageous position out of this split?
Thanks, Rob. Much like Greg, I certainly think number one is to stay close keep the lines of communication open with their HP relationships. Partners have a great opportunity during this for both sides to influence how this plays out. So a responsibility that the partners have is really to keep an open mind to what this might mean, but also to be candid and continue to share feedback with both of the HP organizations. One thing that I would say has been clear from my many years of interacting with all the different folks at HP, Canada in particular, is they are extremely interested and extremely sincere in wanting to hear how things affect the partners, what can be done better, and this is a great opportunity. This is now that chance to reset certain things within the scope of what they're trying to do, being able to have that two-way communication with both HPs or whichever HP that the partners are working with, is the best way for them to gain value out of it.
All right, thank you. And for the last word on the subject, at least for now, Diane, your thoughts on what partners can do to make this as beneficial as possible. Perhaps I'm guessing from your most recent comments that back there a few minutes ago, advocate for as complete a sever as possible.
Yeah, I think that the partners can finally drop the pretense of being good at both, at the pan HP message, and just really double down on their strength. Just, okay, this is what we're good at. We're not going to try to appease HP by being, pretending we're pan HP. Grab their sales rep and go out and sell stuff.
That's really what it all comes down to, isn't it? That's a great way to wrap it up. I'd like to thank all three of you for your contributions and for joining me on this panel. And let's keep in touch as this story continues to evolve. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
All right, joining us now for the inside view of this week's developments at HP and HP is Super Samian, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Indirect Sales for the Enterprise Group at HP, and presumably, Sue, in a year or so, Channel Chief or likewise title for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. It's great to be with you.
So the split has been announced. What can partners expect at this point in terms of communications, roadmap, that sort of thing? Basically, where do we go from Monday's announcement forward?
Great question. First of all, partners were a huge part of the communication plan for Monday's announcement within mm-hmm. 48 hours, in most cases within 24 hours. Our top partners had not only received the information, and most of them a letter from Meg within about an hour, but had at least one, and in most cases multiple, telephone conversations and or face-to-face visit from HP. So I actually feel extremely good about how engaged and proactive we were with partners around the communications agenda from Meg on down, and we got great feedback from our partners about that. The news of the announcement, let's say, very well communicated. We're 3 weeks out from the close of our Q4, which means we're 3 weeks out from the close of our year. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the HP team and all of our partners are very focused on closing business. So our call to action for our partners was, let us know if you have any questions and certainly any concerns about this announcement. And then back to business, we've got a quarter and a year to close, and we are really back in that mode. Everybody knows where to go with questions. We've got war rooms set up specifically for partners, but right now we're all focused on getting business closed.
All right. I certainly have some questions of my own and thoughts of where I'd like to find out where things are going from here. But from your perspective and your talks with partners this week, so what have been the dominant questions that you've been getting?
So time frame. It came out in the announcement. Partners want to know how long it will take until the new entities are established. And the mm-hmm. answer is this will take about a year. Some people find that surprising. I found that surprising. But the reality is when you've got to actually – in 170 countries, create new legal entities, create new tax structures and financial structures, that just takes some time. So this is a one-year process. It's business as usual between now and the start of next year. Obviously, we will start working towards what will eventually be Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and HP Inc., but for 2015, we're operating in the current formation as HP.
All right, great. On the conference call on Monday, I think Meg Whitman did a pretty good job of addressing why the split wouldn't have worked in 2011 when some of these ideas were initially talked about, although a very different kind of look what I think was envisioned at that time. But a little bit less addressed was perhaps why it will work now, or rather why it's optimal to do so at this point in time. What are your thoughts on why this is the time for HP and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise to go their separate ways as much as they will?
Yeah, good question. And we do get this question. And by the way, this is very different than if, you know, referring back to when was the last time the company had these discussions. It was that when Meg just arrived and Leo Apotheker had gone on record as saying we might look at selling the PC business, that was really selling at that time.
Yes.
What we've done here is we're taking Hewlett-Packard and we're creating two go-forward versions of HP. We like to say we grew up in a single-car garage, and you know the family is now going to have a two-car garage. But one company is HP Inc., the other company is Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. This is very different than the last discussion. This is about doubling down and committing to accelerate both of the market agendas we're executing, as opposed to the last discussion, which was about potentially exiting. So very, very different situation. Then the question, why wouldn't we have done this earlier in Meg's tenure? We had a lot to do on the restructuring plan for the company, and that goes from financial and balance sheet restructuring to doubling down on the innovation and R&D agenda to workforce right-sizing and really reigniting the employee base and the management team. We've got a very different company today than we had 3 years ago. I think if you ask almost any channel partner, they would vouch for that. And doing this now from a position of strength makes this all about acceleration in what we look at now as year four and year five of Meg's five-year plan, which is the acceleration period of the plan.
All right. What do you see as the big benefits that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and its partners by proxy get out of this separation and being a separate entity going into those final years of the recovery plan?
I would say focus, acceleration, and simplicity. Believe it or not, while two $60 billion companies are still big, there's a big difference between $60 billion and $120 billion, and each of these entities will be 150% focused on doing what's right for their respective agendas. And again, that's where the acceleration, this is all about going further, faster. And Hewlett-Packard Enterprise will be singularly focused on accelerating the enterprise agenda, taking data center and cloud infrastructure, data center and cloud software, and making that more powerful from HP, as well as looking where we need to at disruptive M&A in order to do that. And having a Hewlett-Packard Enterprise capital and financial structure that would support going and doing that. I think from an ease of doing business perspective, again, we've done a lot of work at HP on the Partner One program, simplicity, predictability, and the HP Unison platform. Those assets and that work will carry forward, but each respective company can now continue to evolve the program, ease of doing business, and processes in a way that is most optimized for their respective business.
Okay. We heard on the call, I believe Meg referred to Unison by name in terms of something that will continue to exist in some capacity through an operational agreement between HP and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise going forward. Do we know yet whether Partner One will continue under that kind of agreement as well, or will we be seeing the programs more distinctly split between HP Inc. and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise post-split?
You'll see the core tenets of Partner One go into both operating companies. Obviously, one of them will most likely need to change the name. I joke with Josh Brankle that I'll take Partner One, he can take Partner Two. But, you know, somebody will most likely need to rebrand their program. However, we are both very committed to keeping the core fundamentals of the program consistent for our partners. We spent 18 months designing Partner One, and that design works for both the enterprise side of the business and the printing and personal systems side of the business and the software side of the business quite well today. And I certainly don't see that changing overnight, and we are very committed to staying closely interlocked. There's no rule going forward that says we need to evolve the program in lockstep with each other, but I can tell you that is certainly our intent, because maintaining consistency for those partners who are doing business with, you know, going forward to Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and HP Inc. is, I think, a big competitive differentiator for us.
Right, and can we drill down maybe a little bit on that, because one of the questions I've heard is kind of, you know, it's pretty clear if I'm primarily a PPS partner today or primarily an EG partner today, how this is going to play out for me. I'll kind of go down the path that is set out by my respective half of the organization when it's split out. But what's both for managing through the process and post-process, what's the plan for those truly pan-HP partners, those ones who really bought into that, you know, sell across the portfolio message? And I believe there are some benefits attached to selling across the portfolio in terms of incentives, rebates, in terms of ability to use MDF today across both sides of HP, despite the fact that the groups have been pretty autonomous operationally for at least the last year or two.
So today, Rob, the partner benefits and the MDF allocation is actually done at the business group level. So the benefits of PAN-HP today are that you have one partner program structure, one set of T's and C's, and one HP Unison platform from which to engage in almost every process with HP. Your benefits themselves and your MDF dollars are optimized within the enterprise group, within HP software, and within PPS today. So from that perspective, this is no change to the way we're doing business today.
Okay. Great. Distraction is, and I think you touched on the need off the top to get the announcement out, to communicate it well, answer questions as they come in, but then get back to closing that quarter and the quarters that will come between now and separation. But the potential for distraction is certainly a concern I've heard from partners. Some have certainly told me they think it will be minimal, while others are a little bit more concerned with what's going on. You've touched on this a little bit, but could you elaborate a bit on what you guys are doing structurally to make sure that distraction won't be an issue throughout this process internally?
Yeah, there's a run the business team at HP, which we all fit in, and there's a separate the business team. There's literally a separation program office staffed by very, very senior executives at HP who will not be doing that as a night job with a day job on the run the business side. So there is an identified team that is going to go into the separation office. They'll be in the separation office for a year, and that's their full-time job. And that's just obviously not one leader or two. That is a large group of senior folks across the company that will go into the separation office. Now, that's not to say that we won't all have some degree of involvement in the process. Obviously, we will, because we're going to want to influence the outcome. However, we will not be trying to do this separation in a hybrid approach done by people who already have a big job running the business. And I think that's a very smart approach that Meg has taken. And I can tell you those teams are already being staffed as we speak.
All right, brilliant. What about external distractions, or at least potential for external distractions? Certainly, we heard from HP earlier this year when Dell was in the midst of its go-private move, and when the IBM Lenovo server deal was still out there. There was kind of a sense, I think, at HP that we've moved from having some disruptions ourselves to being the disruptors. What are you guys doing to make sure that you're not being externally disrupted, and making it easier for partners to address that if they should be hearing it from their customers or general noise in the market?
Yeah. So first of all, everybody will try to run that play, and we've already seen some of that this week. And
absolutely.
We expect it and are ready for it. And, you know, let's face it, it's one of the things that makes working in the technology sector so fun. It's a competitive world out there, and every day you got to be up and be on your game. But that I wouldn't trade this industry right now for anything. It's an exciting place to be, and that's probably an understatement. So, look, we actually view this exactly the opposite, which is we think this is such good news for the enterprise side of the business and the printing and personal systems side of the business that we are doubling down, and that we're going to have more focus, more flexibility and agility in terms of how we accelerate each of these respective agendas, that we actually put this in the category of things we're going to continue to use to disrupt our competitors. We think this announcement is a big deal, and a big deal in our favor as we go out to continue to disrupt others, and that's certainly the way you're going to see us play it. Now, will we not expect to get some FUD coming out the other way? Yes, of course, we do expect that. I think we'll be ready for it, but we really see this quite the opposite. We see this as a major offensive play as opposed to a defensive play.
All right, brilliant. On the call on Monday, I think Meg Mitwin was pretty clear on the reasoning for HP Inc. Keeping the name and the logo, being that it's sort of the consumer-facing side of the business, and brand equity is so important there with the laptops and with the print business and other endpoint devices. But it's interesting that the enterprise group becomes the one that leans heavily on the founder's name. Is that just to avoid the confusion of HP versus HP Enterprise being very similar sounding names, if it were that? Or can we read anything more into the Hewlett and Packard names much more closely being included in the name of Hewlett Packard Enterprise?
I don't think you can read anything more in that. in that, I actually hadn't heard that one yet, Rob. So that's quite insightful. I think this is really more about trying to keep the DNA and the legacy of HP / Hewlett Packard flowing through those entities. Again, we grew up in a one-car garage. We're now, as part of the same family, living in a two-car garage. And it's important that the brand, HP is one of the biggest and most powerful brands in the world, whether it, you know, it is HP or you know it is Hewlett Packard. It's a powerful brand, and you want both companies to benefit from that. The logo itself, and the logo being HP, not Hewlett Packard, the logo itself is highly recognized in the consumer market because, you know, of the, you know, tens of millions of desktop, you know, and print devices that we have out there. So you really need to have the logo go with that operating company. And then I think for confusion avoidance reasons, you know, the other becomes Hewlett Packard. And I think the only bet going on right now inside the company is, will people on the enterprise side actually say Hewlett Packard Enterprise, or how long it takes for that to be shortened to just HP Enterprise from a colloquial perspective, regardless of what the formal name will be?
I think that's being optimistic. I'm wondering, you know, on the press side and internal side and industry side, how quickly it just becomes HPE, because after first reference, that saves you some time in typing.
Well, and the good news is, regardless of the formal name, I believe it's common knowledge that HPE is the stock symbol for Hewlett Packard Enterprise. So you can always shorten it, as many writers do, and refer to the company from the stock symbol. That actually works.
Hey, good planning. that kind of covers where I wanted to go, Sue. Do you have any parting shots, any parting thoughts for the Canadian channel community before we wrap this up?
Rob, it's always great to talk with you. You always have wonderful questions. Canada's important. We are doubling down on the channel everywhere. We are really doubling down on the channel in Canada. We've got new channel leadership in place now in Canada. We're really excited about what we're doing there and the sponsorship that we have from Charlie Atkinson. So I'm excited about everything we can look forward to in the next year, and I think look for good things on the Canadian front.
All right, brilliant. Thanks for taking the time at the end of what has been, I'm sure, a very busy, very wild week for you.
Yeah, but a fun one. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, and happy Canadian Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Sue. All right, there you have it, a pretty comprehensive view of the HP split as we know it today. Of course, we'll be keeping a close eye on developments on channelbuzz.ca, so stay tuned for news on the site as it unfolds. I'd like to thank the guests we had today, Diane Krikora, Sue Bersamian, Greg Myers, and Kevin Hebert, for joining us on today's podcast, to all of our sponsors for making this possible, and of course, you for listening in. We'll be back very soon with another channelbuzz.ca podcast, actually. But in the meantime, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I will see you around the channel.